Welcome to the show. It's the theme song from the WrestleMania I went to when I was having two young boys and stuff. Anyway, welcome to the Rolling Around the Barrel official WrestleMania preview show. I am the Barrel Roller, and I am joined by the Marbles, Mike Feeney. Mike?
How's it going?
We've been spending a lot of time together lately. Do you need a break yet? This is...
No, I'm good for now. We'll see. We'll see after you rip apart these WrestleMania matches.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah. I don't know how I feel about all of them, but you said, hey, let's do a preview show and talk about WrestleMania in the middle of our wrestling theme bracket we have going on. So if you haven't heard it, we did a part one of our 64 team bracket of the greatest wrestling theme songs of all time. And we're halfway through the first round. So part two will be coming out later this week, or what, I don't know when you're listening to this. Deal with it. And yeah, so here we go. We're just going to simply do a preview of the matches that are now set for WrestleMania. And off the top of our heads, because we haven't really thought about all of them, and maybe we'll see where both of us are as far as what the creative's going to be, not just the winners. Well, I don't know. We'll start with the first match and see where it goes. So, Mike, here we go. We're going to go over Saturday's matches first. The first match, or we don't know what order they're going to be in. Mike, before we go, you and I are going to be in a little contest with each other, so I'm going to write these down.
Okay.
Every year at my house at WrestleMania, we do a little contest where you predict the winners of the matches, and then you get points based on where they are on the card.
So, that's fun.
So,
yeah,
whatever the first match is on Saturday, you'll get 1 point for that. If you get it right. And then it goes up a point every match after that.
Okay, so you're not picking winners. You're just picking where it is at on the card.
No. You're getting points based off where it is on the card, but you're picking the winners. You don't
get... Oh, picking the winner. Okay. Okay, so multi-level.
You don't get the points if you don't pick the winner. So.
Okay. Cool.
So anyway, the first match we have here is Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Now, Mike and I are both wrestling fans, so we are vaguely familiar with some of these people and somewhat of the storyline. So we'll see what Mike has to say about it.
Yeah, so this is a match, one of the matches that I don't know too much about. Obviously, I know who Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio are, and I know a little bit about Santos Escobar. I'm not really too familiar with Dragon Lee, and I know that Carlito has been involved with LWO and Rey Mysterio, so I'm really not sure why they went with Dragon Lee over Carlito as his tag team partner. But nonetheless, Rey Mysterio got the best of Dominic Mysterio last year in a singles match that was, if I'm remembering correctly, a pretty clean finish. So I think this year, Dominic's got to get some revenge, save a little bit of face, and you can do it dirty with the tag team partner.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think this match is some of the wrestling that WWE is going to give us at WrestleMania. I expect a fast-paced luchador-type match. Dominic is... I don't know how, but he's over with heat big time. The fans hate him. Santos, I don't think, gets any reaction. Everyone's always going to love Rey Mysterio. I mean, like you said, Rey beat him last year clean. So, I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dry who's going to win that match. But
I'm expecting a pretty good matchup, though, because I can't remember the last time there was like a pretty straight up lucha match with a lot of wrestlers of Hispanic descent or exclusively of Hispanic descent in the WWE, at least.
Mike, you're on the independent scene and you have been for, a number of years. What is the lucha scene on the independent scene look like?
In Michigan, not much. There's not too much that goes on. They do run a lucha show out of Detroit the beginning of May. Normally the weekend is Cinco de Mayo. I believe this year it's May 3rd, and they host it. I'm not sure on the exact venue, but it's always out of the Metro Detroit area. And that's a great show that's very lucha. And they'll bring in a couple guys normally from Mexico or so that are, you know, pretty big names. But aside from that, lucha wrestling on the Michigan and Midwest independent scene, pretty non-existent.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get your prediction on who's going to pin who, and how about an estimate of time, match length?
Oh, okay. I think we'll have Dominic Mysterio getting the pin over Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
Dominic. And the match length for this one, I think it'll be fast. I think it'll be short. I'd say 9 minutes.
9 minutes is not short.
For a tag team match? For a tag team match at WrestleMania, I'm going 9 minutes.
Does it depend on if it's the first match or not?
Yes, I think it does.
So we can't even factor that in. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here because I'm going to go with Santos pinning Rey Mysterio because they don't need Dominic beating Rey in this story doesn't matter because this is not a Dominic and Rey story. He's just in it. This is the Santos and Rey story. And Santos has nothing. And if they're going to try to make something out of Santos, you got to give him a moment. And I'm going to say this lasts 6.5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, next match. It's the women that you love so much, Mike. It's Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill against Damage Control, which is Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Your thoughts?
This will probably be where I go to grab extra popcorn and a slushie, as I have rented out a movie theater for Saturday Night WrestleMania. I'm not too excited about this match. There are some good talents in it. Bianca Belair is great. Jade is great. But it's one of those things where I find with women wrestling, the more people that they throw in it, the more they don't care about it and the sloppier it gets. So a 6-woman tag team match, I don't think it's going to be anything all that exciting. We'll probably have a bunch of botched spots. That'll be fun. And at the end of it, I think the Damage Control is going to get the win.
Oh, Mike's going with Damage Control. All right. Who do you got pinning who?
I got Sane going over Naomi because I feel like Naomi's kind of the only one there that's not really getting much of a push from the WWE, and I think they'll be kind of favoring Damage Control being an established group over 3 wrestlers that are pretty much on their own that'll go off and do their own singles thing. Somewhere between the 3 female wrestlers, I think something's going to split off into its own feud from some miscommunication.
What do you got for time?
Too long. I will go with 11 minutes.
Wow. You were generous on the times. I'm going to completely disagree with you. And I'm going to say this is Jade Cargill's moment. This is her WrestleMania moment. She hasn't even come out on the roster yet. She's made an appearance or two. But she hasn't done anything in the ring yet as far as a match. She did Royal Rumble, I believe, which isn't the same. Yeah, she did do Royal Rumble. I'm saying she's pinning somebody. Everybody else in the match to me is inconsequential. She's going to be pinning somebody. They got to make her look strong as they build her. And I'm going to say, let's see who we got here. If you're looking at those three names, she's going to pin Asuka.
It might be a little different just because of the time, but I kind of where my opinion comes from as well. She held the AEW Women's Championship for a long time, and, well, they don't want to really give credibility to the competition. But maybe this day and age, things are a little different.
Well, they haven't put her on TV since she's been there, and she's been there a while now because they said she wasn't that good. So they've been working on her to get her better before they put her in a program.
Yeah.
And so I don't see them bringing her out just for her to lose, even if she's not the one being pinned, which there ain't no way that's happening.
Right. I don't think she'll get pinned, but I do think she'll be on the losing end, and it'll lead to something maybe with her and Bianca Belair.
Well, you're on something there. There is rumors about a Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill feud.
Because Belair is good as well to carry that if she needs to.
Right. So now you're starting to make me think, but I refuse to. I refuse to think. by the way, Asuka, one of my favorite women wrestlers of all time. I know she's up there in age a little bit now, but she's very good with the psychology of a match.
Yeah.
And I've always liked that about her. And I also like the fact that she used to strip her opponents in Japan. Here we go. We're going to give them, I'm going to give them 8 minutes.
Okay.
That last thing you said about Belair and Cargill has really got me thinking. But I'm not changing it. Going with my instincts. Next, we got the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. We got the champions who are the Judgment Day. We also have Awesome Truth. That's the Miz and R-Truth. We got DIY, which is Johnny Gargano, and I don't know this guy's name. What's his name?
Tommaso Ciampa?
Yeah. I know who he is. Tommaso Ciampa. Didn't they turn him heel and it didn't last but a couple of weeks because he was not good at it and they put him back with Johnny Gargano or something? He didn't.
That is a possibility.
He didn't turn on Gargano. So. Oh, look, and the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, and the New Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, which. Is that the team, and A Town Down Under with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller? Isn't Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate the team that wrestled on the Australia pay-per-view for the titles?
I believe so, yeah.
They were awesome.
They are great.
Well, I knew who Pete Dunne was, so... Yes, yeah. But I just wanted to make sure that the second person was, in fact, Tyler Bate.
I believe it was. I think it's hanging together a little while.
But that was a match I did not expect to go the way it did, even though it ended the way you knew it was going to end. Still, highly competitive match. So I thought they were great. So what do you got on well, tell me. We're going to spend a little time on this one. There's a lot of teams. So, Mike, let's break it down team by team. Tell me what you think about Damian Priest and Finn Balor.
Probably my two least excited guys in the Judgment Day for what that – well, who's that other guy? But it's not Dominic. It's not Rhea Ripley. But they are the tag team champions. One thing that's interesting about this is they hold both belts, the SmackDown and Raw tag team championships. Chips, which are unified right now, and from what I hear, that this ladder match is going to have both sets of belts hanging above the ring, so both will be up for grabs, so they'll be defending both tag team championships. And one thing to keep in mind, I don't know if it will be successful, but Damian Priest does still hold the Money in the Bank ladder match
Yes.
Do
you want to talk about that now, or do you want to bring that up later when you think it might be relevant?
That's a great question. I think now's a good time to do it because this is the only match that Damian Priest is scheduled in.
All right, give me your Damian Priest prediction for the Money in the Bank suitcase.
I don't think he's going to cash in on Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes, regardless of who wins that match. I couldn't even say for sure that he cashes in at WrestleMania this year. I know they've been trying to push him as a tag team champion and just trying to build him up, but for me, he just doesn't really scream champion. And of all the people that are in the, you know, the WWE championship match or the World Heavyweight Championship match or Universal, whatever they're calling it, I don't think he shines brighter than anybody in there as a face or as a heel. And I just don't think that he's going to be successful. And I also don't think that he will cash in this weekend.
Yeah, I've seen Damian Priest recently live. Not impressed, but I mean, the dude has, if you look at him, the transformation he's done with his body, I mean, he's, I believe he's in his 40s, but he's in better shape now than he ever has been. But he's not very mobile, and he does plod around the ring a little bit. Not a lot to his offensive repertoire. And Finn Balor, it's so unfortunate to me what has happened to Finn Balor. God, he's good. And the demon he's character, so the demon character is so awesome to me. And you just don't get any of that anymore. And
It feels like he's kind of lost a little bit in the Judgment Day. I like him a lot as an individual competitor. I like the Judgment Day as a whole, but I definitely think that the Judgment Day kind of overshadows Balor and kind of hides his talent.
I have Damian Priest cashing in Money in the Bank on Gunther and beating Gunther and having the Intercontinental title.
Okay. So, I could see that being a likely scenario. I just don't think he could go after one of the big belts. Looking at it as well, Damian Priest is marked at 41 years old, which is the same age as LA Knight, who everybody's been saying is too old to get the push. So that's a little bit interesting from my perspective.
I don't think LA Knight's – we'll talk about LA Knight. I don't think he's too old to get a push. I just think he sucks. Okay. So the next team is the Awesome Truth. Your thoughts on them?
I don't think there's any chance they're winning this match, but I think it's going to be very entertaining however they are involved within it. These are two guys that, you know, work really well together as a tag team, but aren't really my choice for a tag team ladder match. But I guess if you're throwing six tag teams in the mix, I guess they're relevant enough to make a part of this match. I like them both individually. They've been hilarious together as a tag team. I'm expecting some pretty funny moments from R-Truth throughout it as well.
And the comedy side of The Miz really comes out when he's with R-Truth, at least this time. They tried to play it straight the last time they were together. But this time, it's really – I just think that they're almost like agents in the ring at this point. And it's like having a coach on the field. And so – I think they're going to help the match greatly and not win. The next team.
It's also a little crazy to throw R-Truth in a ladder match as he's 52 years old. So
probably still smokes.
Debatably elder abuse.
DIY, Gargano, and Ciampa. I'm familiar with them. I just didn't know how to pronounce his name. I've seen Ciampa dozens of times. I love Johnny Gargano. I think it might be time for him to get a push. Your feelings on DIY?
I think you're right, and I think that they're due for a push. Everything that I've seen indicates towards it. And because they said both belts are on the line, I think it's very likely that this may be their push, as they've kind of been favoring both of them, it seems, and they're both extremely talented and I think could create some really cool spots throughout the ladder match. And yeah, I could definitely see one of them pulling up there, climbing up that ladder and pulling down one of the belts.
I've always been concerned about them turning Johnny Gargano into Dolph Ziggler as far as putting them in to matches because you know you're going to get a good match, but not really caring right. about his character or his development or, you know, any of that. You're just going for a good match, and which Dolph always gave you, and Johnny yep. Gargano always gives you. So I'm just afraid that he gets pigeonholed like that. So I haven't decided yet, though. And, of course, there's the New Day. Mike, I have no idea how you feel about the New Day.
I'm a fan. I think it it took a... You know, everybody in the New Day is talented. I think Big E is still sidelined. Who knows if he'll ever be back. But I don't think any of those guys really would have gotten that long-term individual push. I mean, Kofi had it very momentarily. And I think they work really well together as a tag team. I think they're great for the WWE. They're great for the tag team division. And I see them as something a little similar to Awesome Truth in this match, where, you know, they've been around a while, they know their way around the ring, they put out good matches consistently, and I think he'll contribute to the match significantly, but also I can't see them going on another championship run at this time.
Yeah, Kofi Kingston's small run as the champion is just a testament to how the fans can really get whatever they want if they really put their minds to it and work as a unit. You know, there was no reason for Kofi Kingston to all of a sudden get hot and win that title. But he did. And the fans wanted it. So he won. Then he got destroyed. I don't expect much out of them at all in this match. Maybe a spot or two, but nothing. I don't even see them much anymore.
Yeah, they can also be very involved comically in the match, and I think having New Day and Awesome Truth in the match together could create a very interesting WrestleMania moment that isn't something as, you know, celebratory as winning a championship. They could definitely create a moment while not needing a belt out of it.
Right. And the next team is the New Catch Republic of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I think I said everything I need to say about that team. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I know they were just reunited relatively recently on SmackDown. It did a lot of work in NXT. So I don't really think that they're at that point where they're going to get a tag team push yet. I think they'll get an opportunity to kind of showcase what they have, and they're both very talented, and I think they'll add a lot of entertainment from a wrestling element to this match. But, again, I don't think they're going to be one of those teams that's walking away with the tag team championship.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the last team is A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, my least favorite tag team possibly of all time. You said you like Grayson Waller. Explain to me why.
I love Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and I like them as a tag team. They're two of the younger guys in the WWE. They have good looks. They're both decent promos. And I think that the WWE wants to use these guys long term and are hoping that they can amount to something. I think the WWE sees a ton of potential in them. And I think this six-pack ladder match is going to be a great opportunity to test them and then see if they can do a little run with the tag team championship.
All right, who do you I don't think Austin Theory is ever going to be anything. He looks great, except his face. His face looks like a child face. And Grayson Waller, I haven't even seen him do anything. Like wrestling wise, he's just awful. I can't get behind them. Mike, who do you got winning this match?
You have to keep in mind, too, Austin Theory is like 25 or 26 years old, and he's already been in the WWE for a handful of years. So if he's able to maintain his look, he could be a big time push for them. He might be somebody that they're looking at is, hey, this is our next meal ticket. This is our next John Cena. This is our next Roman Reigns. And I think they have big plans for him. Because there are two tag team championships available in this match, I think that DIY is going to walk away with one of them. And I think A-Town Down Under is going to walk away with the other one, with Judgment Day losing both of the belts in this match. It's going to be one of those things where it keeps them looking relatively strong. Nobody's getting pinned for a belt. You know, they're not pinning Finn Balor. They're not pinning Damian Priest. Neither of them are tapping out. They lose their matches, or they lose their titles based on something a little bit goofy, and it provides the opportunity for Damian Priest to be open to cash in that money in the bank, and then I don't think he does it.
Okay. Judgment Day holding on to one side of the belts because it fits my storyline going forward.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
And then it's really difficult because I want to say the new Catch Republic so bad. I want to, but I just feel like it's time for Johnny Gargano. They have to pull the trigger at some point and at least give him a little nudge. But that new Catch Republic tag team might even be in this match because of how well they did in Australia.
Yeah, they did a tag for quite a while in NXT as well.
So I'm going to go with DIY winning one of the sets of titles. Yeah, they got to hold on to the belts for my storyline going forward. Okay.
I think that works out as well, where you're going to have one team walk away with the belts as a heel, and one team walk away with the belts as a face. The reason I don't think Judgment Day will is because then it provides an opportunity for A-Town Down to feud with any babyface tag team. And I know they're trying to push a few of them. So
I got this going about 22 minutes.
I'm going to go 18.
Okay, next up we got Jay and Jimmy Uso. Interesting match. This is one that the fans are going to enjoy.
It's been something that's been brewing for a while as well.
Well, years. They've been back and forth in that Bloodline storyline. By the way, my feeling, the Bloodline storyline is in about the seventh inning.
Yeah, they're not done.
And they have bigger plans than this WrestleMania. So I don't know what they are, but
The Rock vs. Roman's got it.
It's not going to be the end of the story.
I don't think it will be either.
But it's going to happen. Yeah. Who do you got going in this match?
Well, I could really see this going one way. It's Jey Uso. Jimmy's been in and out over the time, and I don't want to spoil anything for my predictions later, but I think this is Jay's moment. I mean, he had the chance to, at SummerSlam, he had a great match with Roman. Obviously, they kept the belt on Roman, but it was very clear that Jay is able to stand alone as a singles competitor. I think him losing this match doesn't really allow him to go anywhere. And I think that he has to be the one going over this Saturday night.
I've had many different scenarios for this match because of how I think the Bloodline is going to last longer. I believe he's going to end back up in the Bloodline. I've been trying to think of what it is that's going to get him back into the Bloodline. I'm thinking brother versus brother. he's going to have the opportunity to beat Jimmy, and because it's his brother and he remembers that he loves him, he's going to let his guard down and get beat. And I think he's going to be okay with it. Like, I don't know if it starts now. Headed back to the bloodline, because it absolutely depends on what happens the rest of the weekend. It might be too soon. And if things work out the way I think they're going to work out, they're going to need some good guys to win to give the crowd some good feels. So this would be one of those. So that's my dilemma. Is this a give the crowd their good feels moment? Because they love Jey Uso right now. He's entertaining. They do. They're all on board with his theme song and all that stuff and yeet and all that.
Being at SummerSlam Live made me think, hey, they're about to push Jey Uso because there's not much you have to. The crowd needs them to. The crowd's pushing them.
And Jimmy's not a lot right now. And nope. I think everybody's going to go into this match thinking Jey Uso is going to win. And my history tells me that that means Jimmy Uso is going to win. I'm going to go with Jimmy Uso. I'm going to go with my gut. That way I don't have regrets. No regrets.
And I think this match is going to open WrestleMania Saturday night.
It very well could. And then I would only lose a point. So look at that. I'm glad that you think that. And I hope that it does. But I don't think it will, because I think you're going to want the crowd a little hotter for when Jey Uso comes out. And you got a couple of stinker matches as far as I'm concerned. The first two matches we talked about today are kind of stinkers.
And I don't think they're going to open with either of those.
Really?
I think they're going to sprinkle. Yeah.
Okay.
We can get back to the match count. I just wanted to make my my first match as we got to it. So next match up, we have the Intercontinental Championship here. Gunther going up against Sami Zayn. What are your thoughts on that one, Barrel Roller?
You know, Sammy's always a good underdog story. He plays that character well. He's definitely an underdog in this. There's no part of me that thinks he will or should win this match. Gunther's one of my favorites. I love him. I love Emporium. I think Gunther wins the match. And then I think Damian Priest cashes in and becomes the first ever cash in on the Intercontinental title.
Interesting. Cashing in on the Intercontinental would be an interesting choice. And if that does happen, that changes completely the way I think about things, because that could lead to so many things. I really think somehow out of this match is going to end up, one, Gunther is going to retain, and they're going to begin a feud with Gunther and Gable.
But they've done that already. There was a whole 6 months of Gable and Gunther, and people loved Gable, and I love Gable. He's great.
And they still do, and he's kind of coaching Sami Zayn right now. So something with Gable's got to come out of this match, whether that's Gable somehow costing Zayn the match and creating something between Zayn and Gable.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gunther's going to retain, but there's more there with Sammy and Gable. And they could even run a Gunther-Gable thing, in my opinion. Again, kind of with Sammy in his corner, if they want to give Gable the rub, because he's great. But, yeah. Either way, the end of the day for Saturday, Gunther's retaining. And I don't think that Damian Priest is going to cash in on the Intercontinental.
Let me ask you this about Sami Zayn. As we agree, there's a lot left of the Bloodline story. Do you think at any point that would involve Sami Zayn again?
I definitely think it should.
He was never hotter than when he was in the bloodline. I'm not even talking after he was out. When he was in, that's the hottest he's ever been in his career.
Yes, I agree. And that makes me wonder if somehow he ends up, even for a second or two, in one of the main events this weekend, involved in that bloodline storyline. I don't think it's time. I think there's a lot that he can do with Gunther and the Intercontinental Championship and with Gable. Probably not time for him to reemerge into the bloodline, but I do think that at some point in time, he gets back involved with that, even if it's just for a moment or, you know, a one-off match in a, you know, secondary pay-per-view or premium live event.
Okay, next match, we got Rhea Ripley against Becky Lynch for the women's title. I know you're not a big fan of, how can I put this, most of the women in WWE, because as hot as the women are right now, not so much in the WWE, not with the talent that's being showcased at WrestleMania. I really think they're dropping the ball on the women's division this week. I'm very disappointed that we got Becky Lynch back in a championship match against Rhea Ripley, because Rhea Ripley is head and shoulders above Becky Lynch, and it's not believable to me. There's nothing that's going to happen in that match that's going to make me believe Becky Lynch could win that match. No way. And so I'm not going along for that ride. I'm just going to say I got Rhea Ripley winning this. And
I agree completely with you. Rhea Ripley's on a rocket ship to the moon with the WWE and women's wrestling. There's no way she should lose the belt. There's no way that I think Becky should even have a glimmer of hope. This should be the closest thing on this card to a squash match. And I think Rhea Ripley should completely dominate Becky. Make it quick. Get in the stuff. Get it over with. Rhea walks out dominant. And
I don't think they will. I don't think they will squash it. I agree with you. It should be. But I don't think they're going to.
I don't think it's going to be under 5 minutes, but I do think it'll be under 10.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's at least what should happen, but I'm not booking.
Yeah, but Becky Lynch is no Rhea Ripley. But Becky Lynch was awesome when she didn't have, I mean, there were Charlotte. She did fine with Ronda Rousey, but Ronda Rousey was just a name. She wasn't good.
Yeah. Rhea's so good, and I do agree that they won't turn this. It should be a squash match. It should be maybe 7 minutes, maybe eight. But I don't think they will, because WWE is really focused on pushing women's wrestling and giving the Women's World Championship match less than 10 minutes on this stage. I think would be insulting by a lot of people that do love the women's wrestling. I think they'll give them way longer than they should. I think it'll be a fine match. Won't be anything great, but I don't think it'll be awful. And Rhea Ripley, she should, and I think she will, come out with a dominant victory.
Agreed, and I'm really hoping for that. And there are rumors out there that Becky Lynch is going away for a while anyway. Not directly after WrestleMania, but soon thereafter. So I, if that's true, then what would be the point?
Yeah, and we're also looking at the competitors in that. We got a 10-year age gap, so Rhea Ripley, like, it doesn't make sense to, you know, switch the belt and potentially do something that could hurt the momentum of Ripley when she has an opportunity, I think, you know, to maybe become the next kind of Charlotte Flair-level female performer for the WWE.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Charlotte Flair coming back and for them to have another program together. And I'm looking forward to her wrestling Nia Jax like she did in Australia, because I thought that was a great match. And I think there's more with Nia Jax this time around for some reason. We talked about this the other day. I don't know why. She's just better. She's better.
I don't think she's better, but I think Rhea Ripley made her look better.
Possibly. But I've seen her a couple other matches. By the way, Zoe Stark.
Did she kill anybody?
Zoe Stark. She'll be in WrestleMania next year. Mark my words. Okay.
I believe that. Yeah.
And oh, that one girl that just came out from NXT that was in Elimination Chamber, Stratton. Tiffany Stratton. Is that her name?
Yep.
She's awesome. She's definitely going to be in WrestleMania next year. So, anyway, we're not going to see them at all this weekend. And then there's the main event. And I think we'll stop record after we talk about this match. Keep it a part one.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, so we don't people don't like to look at an episode and look at it and go 2 hours.
Yeah, we got two nights of WrestleMania. It's only fit to do two separate segments here.
So yeah, so this will be part one, and part two will come out maybe a day after you hear this. As we've dedicated some time to finish up WrestleMania talk and bracket challenge theme song bracket challenge before WrestleMania. For all of our wrestling fans out there in the vintage baseball community, we know there's a lot of them. So, and other wrestling fans that somehow, some way get a hold of this. I don't know. So the big main event, Rock and Roman against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. This has been so good. I never would have predicted how hot it would be, this match in particular. I was never worried about Rhodes and Roman on Sunday night main event. I did not anticipate how hot they would be able to get this match on Saturday night. Did you see this coming?
This match is the reason that I have been watching wrestling live again. I would loosely stay informed with what's going on in pro wrestling. But this match has added so much to this WrestleMania, and just the buildup for this match has been absolutely incredible, to the point where, you know, it's not like, oh, Saturday morning I'll figure out what happened on SmackDown, or oh, this weekend I'll see what went on. It's like, oh no, SmackDown's on Friday night. What time? 8 o'clock? Yeah, I'm clearing my Friday night to sit down and watch that. What am I doing Monday? Oh, I'm watching Raw. And this is the first time in many, many years that I've been like, I need to clear my schedule, sit down in front of the TV, and see what is going to happen. I think this match is not going to be anything great from a technical standpoint, but will be everything it needs to be and deliver and send the fans home either A, extremely happy, or B, extremely mad. And either way, it's a win.
Right. If you go home with emotion, it's great. I left a Kane and John Cena cage match with no emotion whatsoever. and I don't even remember what any of the other matches were on the card. I was so bitter. So bitter. We could talk about that on our personal time, but remind me to talk to you about how that match being in a cage meant nothing and didn't make any sense, and it just killed the match and setting expectations and now for something
doesn't
like
have house shows anymore.
All right. So tell me, you've probably put more thought into this match than anything else that we had talked about. So tell me what you got. Lay it out for me. How's it going?
I'm torn because I think either result could be very interesting. Up until Monday Night Raw, which at the time of this recording was last night, I really thought that The Rock and Roman Reigns were going to win. Solely for the fact that they had not disclosed what a Bloodline Rules match was. Because of that, and they said, oh, well, the stipulation is if Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins win, the Bloodline is banned from ringside for Sunday night's match. And if The Rock and Roman Reigns win, that match becomes a Bloodline Rules match. So with them not disclosing what a Bloodline Rules match was, I thought, hey, we're going to see this for sure because we don't know what it is. And why would they dangle something like that and then not deliver? Now that we saw what a Bloodline Rules match is, and, you know, it's just interference, and I don't think there was a pinfall. Was there a winner of that match last night on Raw?
I didn't see the match. I only saw the highlights.
I was about 3 minutes behind, and USA Network cut off on me, so I didn't see the end of the match, but I don't think there was a pinfall. I think it just kind of ended in a no contest. So if that's a Bloodline Rules match, there'll be a lot of people disappointed Sunday night when there's no winner. But I think that Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are going to get the victory over The Rock and Roman. I think it'll ban the Bloodline from ringside, and somehow that will be completely irrelevant. There will be interference, and, well, we're on to Sunday night too. But, I think for this match, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins get the victory, and I think that that could provide an opportunity for The Rock and Roman to have their match. But at the same time, The Rock is doing so well as a heel and bringing the WWE so much money right now that I don't know what to think.
And he does have to leave. He has to be gone from May until August for a movie. This has already been confirmed before this even got hot. So, he's got a month after.
Kind of sets him in place. Sets him in place for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
As clearly there's still a huge demand for The Rock. I know this wasn't the original plan. I think that the original plan was Roman versus The Rock at WrestleMania 40. Cody Crybabies went online, tweeted about it, screwed everything up, and for the sake of this match, it's going to be better, because while The Rock looks incredible, I don't think he's in shape right now to do a one-on-one match that goes 15 to 20 minutes. A tag team match, however, I think he'll be great. He'll hit his stuff. I think everybody in this match is going to shine. I think Cody and Rollins get the win just to provide even more hope that Cody's going to finish his story on Sunday night.
You and I are on the same wavelength on this match a lot. I do think Seth is going to kayfabe an injury during this match to set up him losing to Drew McIntyre the next night, to give him his out. So I don't know how that plays into who's going to win the match, but I do think Seth is coming away with an injury in quotations. And like you said, Bloodline Rules, if they don't exist, well, Jey Uso's not in the Bloodline, and Sami Zayn's not in the Bloodline, and CM Punk's not in the Bloodline, even though, you know, he can't do any physicality, doesn't mean he can't have an effect on a match. There's a lot of people that aren't, you know, John Cena, Steve Austin.
Yeah.
All these people are coming in for something. And I find it hard to believe, with as hot as they have this angle and with how well The Rock is doing, that they're going to bring in Austin and Cena to do some circus stuff, you know, a funny segment or something like that. I think you can bring in Austin and Cena and have it be intense. You can throw them into an intense something and they can play the part. They don't always just have to be wrestling ambassador guy, because at one point they were in all this stuff. They've got the ability to jump into those characters that they've had before. So many things could happen. My thought is if Cody Rhodes is going to win the title on Sunday night, he definitely would have to win with Bloodline Rules going on, because the cards have to be stacked against him.
I'm kind of switching my perspective here and what I think is going to happen, because it's really the stipulation of this match that changes the outcome. And based on what The Rock did to Cody Rhodes on Monday night, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we saw blood intentionally introduced into the WWE for the first time in 15 years, maybe 20. I mean, it's been a long time since somebody.
It's because it's going to Netflix. They don't care what USA Network thinks. They don't care. You're not going to turn
based
away.
On how much The Rock has been bleeped out. I think they just told The Rock, go say whatever you want. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah. You're not going, you're losing the product, but you're making money hand over fist right now. You're not going to screw with them.
Yes. Like looking at the, like, because The Rock busted open Cody Rhodes outside, there's incentive there for Cody to have a match with The Rock one-on-one. Maybe that's SummerSlam. We're thinking several months ahead here. But you get that Bloodline Rules match, and they have an opportunity on Sunday night to have a bloody battle between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And if the Bloodline isn't banned from ringside, that provides the opportunity for Jimmy Uso to come out, Solo Sikoa somehow be involved in WrestleMania, even though he's not at all currently, aside from just being there. Gives the opportunity for The Rock to pop back out on Sunday night in that match, and also provides, like you said, the opportunity for somebody like a Stone Cold Steve Austin to show up, or a John Cena to show up. I could see that happening, where Sunday night is a Bloodline Rules match and the Bloodline's just out there pounding on Cody Rhodes, and then the glass shatter hits, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out and has a little brawl with The Rock, you know.
Exactly. The Rock might be taking a stunner, and he takes him and he takes him well.
And because that's been done so many times too, it's, you know, I think that could be something where it, you know, satisfies the crowd. You know, The Rock, you know, everybody's beating up on Cody. Maybe the Bloodline's sending out guy by guy. He takes out Solo. He takes out Jimmy Uso. And then The Rock's music hits. He gets the best of Cody Rhodes, and then Stone Cold comes out, hits the stunner, and goes home. Because you don't need to see The Rock for Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2024. It's been settled. It just comes out. It's an equalizer. There's no follow-up match. You know, and it's even a similar thing where you can replace Stone Cold with John Cena in that. Cena and The Rock have had their moments. Cena could come out, deliver a big move to The Rock. He takes his one bump, rolls off, and then they have a finish to the match with whatever happens once we get to those predictions.
I could see John Cena coming out and saving The Rock and still being able to stay babyface because him and The Rock are friends.
That would be interesting.
I think both of us have changed our minds throughout the course of talking about this, because I definitely had The Rock and Roman Reigns winning this match at the beginning of this talk, and I have switched to Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
And I feel like I've switched the other way just because it allows a lot of opportunity, unless of course they go, oh, the Bloodline's banned from ringside, but it really means nothing because they're not allowed to be there at the start, but then they come out one by one because the ref gets knocked down. You know, there's so many stipulations with pro wrestling where it's like, oh yeah, you're not allowed to do this unless you are.
Right. Yes.
I do think a Cody Rhodes versus Roman match under Bloodline rules would be more entertaining. And because they just did a singles match last year, doing one where, you know, all bets are off, and you know, I see The Rock coming out there smacking around Cody with the weightlifting belt, and there's a lot of opportunity there with a Bloodline rules match. And I really don't know what's going to happen, but I want to see the Bloodline rules match. So final answer, I'm going Rock and Roman.
I'll tell you what, it's so close to me. I could see storylines in both directions. I want to see both storylines. It's never, obviously that never happens, but I'd like to see how it would play out both ways. I'll tell you what the deciding factor is for me, because it's so close. I don't think Seth Rollins is losing twice, and I definitely think he's losing Sunday. So,
okay,
that is actually my deciding factor.
Okay, here's an interesting proposal that changes all of that. They take out Seth Rollins earlier in the night.
I mean, he needs to get away. He needs a vacation, dude. Seth Rollins needs a vacation. They do that injury angle before the match, and he still shows up to lose on Sunday night.
Yep. And that provides an open opportunity. Seth Rollins is the odd man out in this match. Right. I think that's clear to anybody seeing it.
Sure.
The only thing it really does is gives a little rub to the other title, and that's about it. What if they get a hold of Seth Rollins backstage, and then Cody Rhodes has a mystery partner?
Who is it? Give me your top three. No, I'm not even going to make it go down to just give me one. Give me three.
There's just three.
Give me three possibilities. Who you think a mystery partner could be for Cody Rhodes?
For Cody Rhodes, if Seth Rollins goes out.
Right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is an option. I put him at number three.
Okay.
Because I don't think anybody really wants to see Stone Cold Steve Austin in a real match. He's good for gimmicky stuff and to drink some beer. Number two, Jey Uso. He gets the win over Jimmy earlier in the night. He comes out and tags with Cody Rhodes against The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Okay.
And my number one answer, which I think is the most likely, because he could still put on a good match, and it would be that star factor added. Not that Seth Rollins doesn't have it, but John Cena has more of the star factor than Seth Rollins. And looking at this card right here on my phone, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Sign me up.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I will agree with you. You can sign me up for that. I disagree that that's going to be an option. John Cena is known right now. Right now, he's not involved in any storyline. He's known right now as The Rock's friend. Is it believable for him to come out with no relationship on screen with Cody Rhodes to come out and help Cody Rhodes against his friend The Rock? I guess the only thing you could go with is he doesn't like how The Rock's been acting, but he's not in real life. He's not going to judge his friend like that. He's not going to help him, maybe, probably, but he's not going to tag against him. I don't think that lends to believability. So John Cena's not in my top three at all. I'm going to give you...
Okay, who are your top?
I'm going to give you at number three, I'm going to give you MJF. Just because it's an unknown. That's it. He's probably staying in AEW. He's probably not a big enough fish for this spot. He's a big fish in a little pond in AEW. And if he comes over, I just don't see that kind of success happening for him. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It'd be a very good... I tell you what, it'd be a very good barometer of how much the WWE universe watches AEW. Because if he didn't get an amazing pop, you know.
MJF would get a great pop, but he would not. There's no way they're just taking him and throwing his first match up there with The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Right, but what if he's been working on it for a month?
The WWE is not going to push anybody that quickly.
Well, Vince wouldn't. Triple H seems to play by his own set of rules. But anyway, he's my number three. I will put Stone Cold at number one, or number two, I mean, just because I know there was talk about him having another match this year, so he was interested, but it didn't work out because of storylines and all that stuff, and this Bloodline thing is so hot. And I think it's possible they came to him and said, you know what, instead of a match, how about we have you come in and come down and help Cody Rhodes as he's getting his ass whooped by these two because he doesn't have a partner, and to save him a little bit because, you know, he can't go a whole tag team match, you know. So I could see that.
Can I guess your number? You know what? Number one makes sense, and it could be yours. Gold Dust.
Yes. Unfortunately, that is my number one. I haven't heard anything about him getting his release because he's not a free agent. And he would have ask for his release. And as far as I've heard, he hasn't asked for it, nor do I think he'd get it.
Forbidden Door's open, right?
Not in this case. No. That would be amazing. But once again, if he was allowed to go for an event, you're inserting somebody who's gone right away and it didn't really do anything. So
I don't think the WWE Universe would care that Goldust was there. A lot of fans.
I don't think Goldust would be there. I think Dustin Rhodes would be there.
Yeah.
So
I can agree with that.
Goldust is one of my favorite all time characters until it got.
Yeah, I'd be more interested if it was Goldust. That would be silly.
Right. But I don't see this. I'm glad we had this scenario play out to where we're like, oh, who could be a mystery partner? I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, there's one more that could be your number one. Cause you haven't given me your number one yet, but I think the other person could be The Rock's old tag team partner, Angry, that he has a new tag team partner. Bring back the Hurricane. He's under contract at WWE.
I tell you what, I did give you my number one. It was Dustin Rhodes. I just don't think it'll happen, but I guess that's more of what I would want. But
okay.
So you guessed mine right.
Okay.
But if the Hurricane music hit, he wouldn't even have to get involved. But if the Hurricane music hit and he just ran out on the ramp with his gimmick and it affected The Rock somehow, some way, or God, those were the good old days, man.
Now, like, I wouldn't rule that. He's been under Hurricane's been under contract with WWE forever. He's not showing up in the main event, period. But if a scenario happens where the Bloodline beats the hell out of Seth Rollins backstage, I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of the possibility that we see the Hurricane pop up and just go, "What's up with that?" and then walk away.
Let me throw this name on at you. The Undertaker.
Okay. I thought about it.
Do you know what would be my happy place? Is if, God, do you remember how chaotic Raws used to be at the end? And just people were feeding each other finishers all over the place. And it was just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, my dream at this point would be the Undertaker inserts himself in because the Bloodline's going crazy, and then Sting comes out, and the Undertaker and Sting actually have a match the next night.
Oh, please no. The Undertaker can't do it.
Neither one of them can do it. Let's face it.
Sting can do it. Sting still got it. More than Taker does.
Yeah, if you did a Buried Alive match? We've talked about this too. Still trying to insert that in there. Now I'm just being ridiculous. That's not happening. But let's go back to just the Undertaker.
Yeah.
If you got the nostalgia of The Rock and the Bloodline is, let's say the Bloodline has won the match. You have predicted this. If the Bloodline wins this match, what's to stop them from beating on them the rest of the night? Because they both got title matches the next night.
Right.
You just need an Undertaker appearance to come and help? Throw a couple of...
I don't think Taker's helpful. It would be Cena or The Rock, or Cena or Stone Cold.
Yeah. It would be those two ahead of him. I'm just spitballing.
I don't know why they don't tease with the gong though. The WWE, you don't need Undertaker there. Just dim the lights, hit the music for a second. You got a funny spot. Get a heel some heat real quick.
What if
you get a prop out of the crowd?
What if you played the music of everybody that The Rock has had a feud with? You could do the Hurricane. You could do the Undertaker. Everybody knows that stuff. Who else could you throw in that doesn't, that he just looks worried, you know. He's like, oh, my God, what's going on around here? And then Stone Cold's music hits at the end, and he actually comes out. You know, oh, Hulk Hogan's NWO music could hit.
Oh, God, not Hulk Hogan.
No, he wouldn't come out. But you see what I'm saying? you could play the Hurricanes music.
There's a lot of options there.
Yeah,
realistically, we're truly getting The Rock versus Roman Reigns, or The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody and Seth Rollins. I do think at some point, either on night one or night two, there will be a nostalgia throwback with The Rock and a former opponent.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some great segments with The Rock. But with his new heel, boy, that's going to be tough, Mike. Him having segments.
It's an interesting situation because frequently when you bring back a guy that's been gone for a while, especially with, you know, the fan base of The Rock, it's really hard to turn them heel. And it just kind of happened naturally. And that provides all the other guys that could just show up for a one-off an opportunity to be a face and have some sort of interaction. And I mean, I think we've completed the card. We're just kind of going off now. But with that being said, that's how exciting this is that there are all of these potential hypothetical things that could happen with this match. And I cannot wait for Saturday.
You're going to be going crazy in your movie theater.
That's the plan. I still got some open seats. If anybody's listening from the Metro Detroit area and wants to come hang out with us, hit me up.
Yeah, slide into his DMs with a drop kick. And well, thanks for joining me, Mike. And I'm glad I joined you as we are together on our voyage to WrestleMania. Make sure if you listen to this and you enjoyed it, we'll have part two of the Sunday night matches coming out. And also don't forget about our wrestling theme bracket that we'll be having at least two more episodes come out on. Thanks for everybody on your support of these extra little episodes we're doing about wrestling. And thank you, of course, if you are vintage baseball listeners, thank you for your support for all of that. And with that, I will say goodbye to you, Mike L. Say goodbye.
See you later. Have a happy WrestleMania weekend.